The title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. I'd like you to say that out loud if you could. Say Living Life Beyond Regret. And the subtitle today is Physical Injuries and Painful Words. I want to talk about physical injuries and painful words, and I want to dovetail these together. So by way of review, we've simply said that regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. And that could include so many different things. It could be disappointments in life, mistakes that we've made, failures, losses, the loss of a loved one, the loss of finances, the loss of something precious to us, missed opportunities. There's so many things you could think of many more things, but it's this deep feeling of sorrow that something has happened. And I think most of us struggle with that. I think it's human nature that we look back over our shoulder and we think, oh, why did it have to happen that way? I know I do this over and over in my mind. Why did I do that? Or why did I say that? Or I shouldn't have said that. Or I think that is a very normal human thing. And so we deal with regret. But the things that we're talking about is we're seeing that God wants to heal us from those things so that we can really not be hindered by those memories of the past, but really explode into a place of absolute freedom in the Lord. I want you to know today, the Lord doesn't want you to be hindered by the things of the past. He doesn't want you to be held back by the pain of the past, but He really has a longing in His heart for you to just be at peace and really live in the freedom that He has for you. Now, I've shared this picture before, but I really want to put this visual up of this train, because I think it's important for us to see that God sees our life from the beginning to the end. And so the Bible refers to Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so you're in the middle of a journey, you're on a train, and you might be somewhere in the middle of that train, but look at that picture again. God sees your life, and He sees the beginning and the end all at once. And that's really, really powerful. And so what we're asking is that you look at this visual and you invite the Holy Spirit to go back and heal memories and to go back and touch you in certain areas of your life that might be hindering you from really moving on and experience the fullness of what God has for you. So this aerial view, God sees our life from beginning to end. Now, again, we want to talk about physical injuries and painful words. We have probably all heard this lyric in the past, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Unfortunately, we were told that, but how many people know that there's probably nothing further from the truth? Words do hurt very, very deeply. When I was about 6 years old, I was climbing a tree. Most of you know I grew up in the Congo in Africa, and I was climbing a tree, and I fell out of that tree, and I broke my arm. And it was a compound fracture. I still remember it very, very vividly. My arm was in waves, and my bone came out, and it was really, really painful. Now, I want you to know today I'm totally healed, but I have a scar, and I don't even think about it unless I remember and I tell you the story that I broke my arm. I'm completely healed. My arm is completely restored. I have a scar. And that's the way it is oftentimes, where when you're healed of something, the sting of the pain is gone. Now, that was a physical injury, but I've had many, many emotional injuries as well. When I was growing up, I loved sports. I enjoyed playing sports. And so I was involved in every possible sport that I could be involved in high school. And so I remember my senior year, I was really looking forward to all the sports coming out. I worked out, I was in shape, and I was looking forward to basketball and then soccer and any sport, swimming, any sport that they would offer. And I was excited about it. I was fairly confident, just enjoying being a senior and being on the teams. And I'll never forget, my youth pastor pulled me aside. And he said, Eric, he says, I really think you struggle with pride. And it was devastating to me. I really love the Lord. And I grew up in a Christian home. And one of the strong values of our family was to be humble. And it was so hurtful. And I remember just praying and praying and saying, God, am I prideful? And I love sports. And then I would be praying, Lord, I crucify basketball. I crucify soccer. I don't want anything to get in my way. And I'm sure I'm a human being. I'm sure there was some struggle with some things. But, you know, I look back over my shoulder now, and that was a young man in his early 20s. And I've ministered a lot to youth. And I think most youth really feel insecure, and they don't feel that confident. And they're trying to feel more secure and more confident. And do you know that those words, and this is just my opinion, maybe I was really prideful, but this is my opinion, that really I struggled to be healed of those words from an authority figure. And so, unfortunately, it didn't actually help me to have the pride police. Ever heard of the pride police? It didn't help me at all. In fact, I struggled for much of my adult life on having confidence. Even when it came to preaching, even when it came to praying for the sick, I would think, oh, I don't want to be prideful. In fact, I kept myself back from really seeing miracles flow in my life for a long time because I was afraid of pride. I was afraid, oh, I'm going to be prideful. They're going to think I'm prideful. And so it actually did a disservice to me, and I had to renew my mind, be healed of that, of those words to say, you know what, I can be confident in who I am. Now, God does want us to be humble. And it simply goes like this, that if you do something great, you just give glory to God. Say amen to that. And so it's harder to be healed from words than it is from even a physical thing. Let me give you some examples of painful words. Maybe when you were a kid, you heard things like, you're stupid. You're just a stupid kid. Here would be another one. Well, you'll never amount to anything. Some of you may have heard that from a parent. Or what if you heard it from a teacher or from a coach or from an authority figure? How deep and wounding those kinds of things are. What about this? You're terrible at sports. How about this one? You might have heard this. Are you going to fail again? You can just hear the piercing and the devastation of these kinds of words. How about this one? Why can't you get anything right? Some of you might have heard that when you were growing up. What about this? Some of you might have really felt the sting of this. You're worthless. How about this? You're ugly. Maybe some of us have felt the sting of those kinds of words. Or what about this comparison? Well, you're just not as pretty as your sister. What about this one? You'll never go to college. No one in our family has ever gone to college. You'll never go to college. Or you don't have the grades for it. Or you can't do it. What about this? You'll never have a good job. How about this one? I'm ashamed of you. If you heard that from a parent or from a teacher, that is so wounding. That just goes down into a place that just hurts. It is just so painful. Now what about this? This is one. What about painful silence? In other words, everyone else was complimented except you. That's painful. So words themselves can be extremely painful, but silence is loud. Can you imagine if you grew up in a family, maybe this is you, where your siblings were complimented, but you weren't? Maybe there was no negative words spoken to you, but all of the compliments were passed over to someone else. You were overlooked. Those are really painful, painful wounds. And so painful words can really, really run deep. Now, what about some examples of physical injuries? A car accident. Maybe that has really held you back, kept you back. You're still struggling with the pain in your back from that painful car accident. How about an athletic injury? That you had some dreams and you weren't able to pursue your dreams because of an athletic injury. What about a slip and a fall? And it's affected you because you haven't been able to do what you enjoy in life, or maybe it's even affected your career. How about this? A physical condition you were born with. You know, something like poor eyesight or poor hearing, or just any kind of physical condition that you might have been born with. What about a prolonged illness? And so all of these things, whether it's a physical condition or whether it's an emotional condition, these things run deep. And what I'm here to share with you today is that the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to give you peace in those places. Now, here's the tragedy: is the results of that, whether it's painful words, and it could border on abuse, some of the things that may have happened that were just really out of line and inappropriate, or whether it's a physical injury, it can really affect you from moving on and having confidence and having the joy of the Lord and moving on in victory. Here's some of the painful results. Just a lack of self-confidence. And so it starts eroding your confidence in who you are, the confidence in your skill set and what God has given you. Or just how about this? Embarrassment and shame. You carry around a lot of heaviness of shame or just embarrassment, even of who you are, because of that has really deteriorated the fabric of who you are as an individual. Here's one. It can lead to isolation. Affects your relationships, affects your interaction with people, affects your ministry. You begin to isolate yourself in different ways. Here's one. It can lead to depression. You can be struggling with depression. We've talked about this, but there might be some people in here where you have dealt with depression for long periods of time and you really need the victory in that area. Here's another area: fear and anxiety. Because of people's painful words or because of a physical condition or something that happened to you, there's a lot of fear and anxiety. Think about a car accident. It's hard to get back on the road after a terrible car accident. Those kinds of things really begin to affect us. Here's one. You struggle with anger. You struggle with anger because of these things that have happened. Maybe it was emotional wounding, but it also could be physical wounding, and it affected your dreams. And so deep down, there's a sense of anger. And oftentimes, if we're really honest, it's not just anger with people, but we're angry at God because it actually happened. And what I want to present to you today and lovingly say is that the Lord wants to heal you and touch you at a deep level and give you such peace that you will not be chained or held back by any of those things. Say amen to that. And so let me talk to you for a few minutes about the power of words. Listen to the power of words. So first, let's recognize some things about words, how powerful words are. So this old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Never been something further from the truth. It's so very true. Words are piercing. Words can hurt. So words, first of all, they have power to create. Think about this. Hebrews 11:3, and this is out of the NASB. By faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. So we know from Genesis chapter 1 that God created the world by the words that he spoke. Here we see it in Hebrews 11 verse 3. He spoke and he created. So words have the power to create life. Words have the power to create. This is a principle that God has put. So words have the power to create. You need to realize how powerful words are. So words can either empower you or they can disempower you. Words also define our world. The words that were spoken to you as a child define how you grew up. The words that the people that love you and surround you, that they speak to you, that defines your world. Listen to Hebrews 11:3, but in the NIV. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Formed like a vase. So he makes this beautiful vessel, that's you. But he forms you. He forms your world. The words that people speak, your parents and authority figures and the people that are around you, that actually helps form your world. It can either be positive or negative. Listen to Hebrews 11 in the New King James Version. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Framed like a house. For those of you that are builders, for those of you that work with your hands, if you frame a house, you bring structure to it. The words that your parents spoke to you framed your house, how you grew up, how you perceive yourself, how you perceive God, how you interact with people, the relationships that you have. It frames your life. So words form your world, but words also frame your life. Words are incredibly important. And so sometimes we throw, and let me just say this as a footnote, sometimes we throw words around so carelessly. My brother and sister, be very, very careful with your words. Listen to James chapter 3 and verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. This verse is remarkable. What God is saying is that if I could keep my words in check, there would be perfection and I'd even be able to keep my body in check. There's a whole lot to this that we'll visit some of it today, that even your health is contingent upon the words that you speak. Your emotional, but also your physical health. This is a remarkable verse that I stumble, I fall in many different ways, but if I could get my words in check, if I could really truly get my words in check and align with the Word of God, then there would be perfection that could be released to my life. That is really, really powerful. And so words define our world. And this is something I really want you to think about as we move on in this message. How has your world been defined? Because your world was probably defined by your parents, by your authority figures, and then even by yourself, the words that you speak about your life. If you have learned to speak positively about your life, then chances are you're living a more positive life. But if you have framed your world by negative words, chances are you're struggling with negativity in your life. Words are incredibly powerful. And so the great thing about that is that we can all change our words whether we feel like it or not. Say amen to that. And so sometimes you do just have to speak positive and powerful words, whether you feel it or not. And so we know this, but words can bring life or death. Listen to Proverbs 18:21, and I decided to put this in the contemporary English version. Words can bring death or life. And so that parent, that authority figure, that teacher, that boss, that employer, that coach, when they spoke words to you, if they were encouraging, that probably motivated you. But I wonder how many people had a coach. I had coaches that cursed, and I had coaches that put us down all the time. I think they thought it motivated us. Didn't motivate me. Didn't motivate me. What motivated me was, hey, son, you can do this. Son, you can accomplish great, great things. And so words can bring life or death to a situation. Listen to Proverbs 15:4, and this is out of the Message. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. And so I think we can all look back and maybe remember some times in relationships or things that have happened where we have heard painful words happen in our life. And as parents, my brother and sister, I'm going to submit to you, let's be really careful with what we say to our children. Say amen to that. Amen? And I'm not talking about discipline is a whole nother message. But there are ways to discipline. There are ways to be firm. And there are ways to clearly give a path of discipline without getting into the flesh. Say amen to that. And so this is really, really important. So words, the power of words. Words have the power to create. They define our world, and they can bring life or death. But now let me tell you about the power to heal. Okay, the power to heal. So if you're here today, and I want you to think about this in two different ways, that whether you were wounded by words or whether there's a physical injury, a physical healing that you need, I want you to think about those, because we're talking about physical injuries and we're talking about painful words. The first thing is this, and I'm going to build on this, but you need to trust His timing. If you want a breakthrough in your life, if you really want healing in your life, you need to trust God's timing. Because if you're here today and you've been struggling, say, for example, with a physical condition, and you've been prayed for many, many times, but you haven't seen the healing, maybe you've even prayed for others and they've been healed, but you haven't got the healing, or maybe you had some painful things happen to you a long time ago, but every once in a while that pops up in your mind. It affects your relationships. It affects your confidence moving forward. You need to trust God's timing. Now, what do I mean by this? There's a difference between managing versus resigning. Managing something, managing the pain, managing difficult things in your life, and then resigning yourself to it. Resigning yourself is to accept something that is bad and cannot be changed. That's where you just resign yourself to it. And if we're really honest, there's probably some of you that you've resigned yourself to that. Oh, well, I have that physical condition. I've had it my whole life. And you just kind of resign yourself to it. Or you received prayer 5, 10 times, you've been prayed for many, many years, but you still haven't seen the healing. So you just resign yourself to it. You accept it. Okay. And I want you to know the Lord doesn't want you to accept it. Can you receive that word? He doesn't want you to accept it. But that's what resigning. Now that's very different than managing. I'm going to define managing this way. Managing is pushing through with strength and peace while believing for something better. So God, as you're waiting on the release, and let's just really be honest here. I think it's healthy for us to be honest. Sometimes healing happens immediately. Say amen to that. Sometimes healing happens progressively. Say amen to that. And let's just be really honest. Let's be completely honest here. Sometimes people don't get healed until they get to heaven. But that doesn't change the fact that He wants to heal you and has provided that for you right up until the time that you go to heaven. But that's just being honest with the earthly realm. Okay? So managing, though, is this idea of pushing through with strength and peace while believing for something better, that you're believing that God will heal you from the painful words that have been spoken or the physical things that you're struggling with. And so if you have resigned yourself, I just want to say to you lovingly, as a brother in the Lord, I'm saying, please, please don't resign yourself to that condition. Instead, say, you know what? I'm going to manage this. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have joy, but I'm going to believe that God has something for me, and I'm not going to back off of that belief. Say amen. And so managing is pushing through with strength and peace while believing for something better. I'll say it this way. Managing is temporary, whereas resigning is permanent. If you've resigned yourself to accept something bad that cannot be changed, that's like a permanent mentality. And that's the Lord doesn't want you to resign yourself to that. He's trying, even through this message, to give you hope, to give you strength, to build faith in you. Please don't resign yourself, because that's permanent. But managing is temporary. It's said another way. I'll say it a different way. You can accept where you are, but refuse to stay there. There's so many things about my life, maybe from the words that were spoken, the things that happened, the regrets that I have, but I'll accept those things. I try it. Sometimes accepting's hard, right? But I'll accept those things, but I refuse to stay where I'm at. I want to keep growing. I want to keep moving forward. I don't want to resign myself. And so think about this at so many different levels. You can think about it physically. You could resign yourself, or you could continue to say, you know what, I'm going to manage the pain, but I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, I'm believing Him for healing, and I'm not going to back off of that. And it's the same thing emotionally. You could say, yeah, I could be crippled and say, well, that's the way I am. I struggle with depression. I'm a person that always has anxiety. Yeah, you could do that, or you could manage it in the moment and say, you know what, I'm going to get victory over this depression and over this anxiety. So when you trust God for His timing, this is really powerful. Do the possible and let God do the impossible. Okay, so while you're waiting for a miracle, whether it's emotional breakthrough or whether it's physical breakthrough, do the possible and then let God do the impossible. So what's the possible? The possible is reading God's word. The possible is confessing His word. The possible could be taking care of yourself. Now, I really, before I say a few things, I really need to hear that you love me. But I got to feel it, so tell me you love me just a little bit. Okay? So there are some things that not all things, but there are some things that you can help or you could manage in your situation. I'll give you an example. When I was in my early 40s, I thought, well, let me start running again. I hadn't run for years. And I'd read and heard that, oh, well, in your 40s, you're going to have knee problems. And so I went out probably with a bad expectation that I would have knee problems. And sure enough, my knees hurt. And then I started losing weight. And then I realized it had nothing to do with my knees. I was overweight. Now, I say this lovingly, but some physical condition, everybody tell me you love me. Come on, I gotta feel it. I gotta feel the love. So we can say over and over and over again that we have a condition and it's our age or it's hereditary or it's genetic. But my dear brother and sister, some of it you can help by taking care of this temple, the Holy Spirit, by watching what we eat. Now, I hope I don't lose you the rest of the message. I really hope you'll stay with me on this, right? But I'm just being honest. Some of it we can watch what we eat. We can keep things under control. We can exercise. We can do. The point is this: you do the possible and let God do the impossible. Now it's that way sometimes with medication too, right? So that may not be the best. God wants to heal us, but you might use something to manage something until you get the full breakthrough. I hope you hear my heart and what I'm saying here. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Now, this is in John chapter 11. Jesus had a very, very close friend named Lazarus. And he got word that Lazarus was sick. He said, come and pray for Lazarus. But listen to John 11, verse 6. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I wonder if you guys have felt like you're in a 2-day. A long wait, a 2-week, a 2-month, a 2-year, a 2 decades. But you knew that if Jesus would come, if He would release His power, you'd have been healed instantly. But yet Jesus, for one of His best friends, Lazarus, he waited 2 days. He had to trust the Lord. So sometimes, I mean, I've seen instant miracles and then I've seen progressive miracles that have happened. But while you're in the in-between time, you got to manage it and you got to trust God for His timing. So in other words, if you don't get the healing right away, He's still the healer. If you don't get the provision right away, He's still the provider. And so you learn to trust Him in the in-between time that you're waiting as for that release here in this realm. And so he could have been there, but he waited 2 days. Now, the miracle is he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, great men and women of God can get sick. Great men and women of God can have trouble in their relationships or with their confidence. Listen to Galatians 4:13 out of the NASB. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you for the first time. So Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, he got sick. You can get sick. You can be wounded. But the great news is God wants to heal you. You may not always understand when and how the timing is, but you have to trust Him that He's the healer, even if you don't understand the timing of a situation. So you put your complete trust in the Lord as to when He's going to heal. I remember years ago, I was in the Congo and I was ministering, and I ministered in this inner city church. I preached and then I gave an altar call. The only way I can describe it is a sea of humanity. Just everybody coming to the altar. And I just started praying and weeping and crying and praying for people. I didn't have time to stop and ask each person what they were believing God for, what they needed prayer for. But I was just praying and praying and praying. Just the sea of humanity. But I'll never forget the next day, the pastor came to me and he says, "You got to hear this testimony. There was a woman there and her name was Martha. And she was deaf. But she woke up hearing this morning." Say amen to that. Now, here's the great news. She received prayer, but she didn't get the miracle that day. She woke up the next morning and the healing took place. Okay? That still sounds pretty immediate to you one day. So let me give you another example. My daughter, Sierra, was born with a condition called amblyopia. Now, when we took her to the eye doc, we thought she had amazing eyes. We called her eagle eyes when she was little because she could see things far away. And then she went and she had her first eye test. And she couldn't see out of one eye, hardly at all. And so the doctor said she has what's called amblyopia. And what that is a disparity of vision. So one of her eyes, if you could imagine, could see here. The other one could see really far away. So what happens in a situation like this, it's easier to see out of this way, one eye. So she turned this one off. So she was only looking out of one eye. So she had to start doing eye therapy. We started with patching, but then she went 3 times a week. For how many years? She was such a good girl. She worked hard, did her therapy, and later on, she ended up working for that optometrist and got a job with his office. But I remember years later, she had her exam, and the doctor says, "You are healed. You no longer have amblyopia." So it's not, she's not managing it anymore. It's gone. It's done. Now, why do I tell you that? Because she did the possible, and then God did the impossible. Now, I thank God for the optometrist, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Jesus gets the glory. He healed her. But she worked hard in the natural, and she got the heal. She did what she needed to do, managed the pain, managed it, and then the healing came. Now, that can be supernatural. It can be in the natural. Jesus gets the glory. But we trust Him with the timing. And in the meantime, we do everything that's possible in the natural. We study the Word. We believe the Word. We trust God. We confess His Word. And we wait for the release of His miracles in our life. And so that's trusting Him for His time. The second thing I'd submit to you today is you got to believe His Word. You have to make a quality decision, a powerful decision today to believe His Word. Now, I'm going to give you something that should change your life today. Listen to this very carefully. Truth is more powerful than fact. I'm going to say it again. Truth is more powerful than fact. So Jesus waited 2 days to go pray for Lazarus. By the time he gets there, he's dead. But then listen to what he says in John 11, verse 40. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Fact, Lazarus was dead. Truth, resurrection power was about to be released. I don't think you understood what I said. What this means is, when we say truth is more powerful than fact, the fact is you can get a diagnosis from the doctor. That's a fact. You go to the doctor, they give you a diagnosis. That's a fact. It can be a scientific fact. Fact, you have pain in your body. Fact, you have a fever. Fact, you're sick. There's an illness. That's a fact. Truth, Jesus will override that fact with the power of His healing. Same with your emotions. Fact, Maybe you heard painful words when you were a kid. Truth. God heals those words so they don't have to affect you in your everyday living and in your ministry. That's the truth. So truth overrides fact. That is such a powerful thing. So he told them the truth, and then he overrode the fact of sickness and death. And so if you get a negative report from the doctor, you can look at the doctor and say, okay, that might be the fact, but the truth is I'm healed in Jesus' name. The truth is I'm going to get the victory of this in Jesus' name. So believe his word. Believe his word. So what I think what has to happen here, my brother and sister, is that we have to change our worldview completely and to say this is more powerful than this earthly realm. I don't know if you understand. The word of God is eternal. The word of God will never. See, there have been nations, there have been dictators that have tried to destroy the word of God. You will never be able to destroy the Bible. Because the Bible says that God's word is eternal. See, it's eternal. And so you cannot destroy God's word. And so if you realize that God created the world by his words, if you realize that his words will never fail, the Bible says, if you realize that his words are eternal, now everything else has to come under God's word. So that means your feelings, your thoughts, your diagnosis from the doctor, whatever that coach said, whatever that teacher said, all of that comes under, is subordinate to God's word. This is more powerful than that. So what I want to tell you today, what I want to tell you is this, is that maybe your family framed your world. Maybe your coach formed your life when you were young. Now God is saying, you know what? My daughter, my son, I am going to frame your world and I'm going to define you by what I call you, which is my precious son and daughter, not the negative things that were spoken to you before. This is so powerful. So you're going to make this decision to say, God, I'm going to believe your word. Now, this is where it gets hard. You got to believe his word more than your feelings. Because if you're hurting, it's hard to believe. But you got to make a decision. Truth is more powerful than fact. And so God's truth overrides all of my feelings, all of my circumstances. Truth is more powerful than fact. So one, trust his timing. Two, believe his word. Thirdly, go to war. You got to go to war. Okay, you got to go to war. Now, I'm going to move a bit quickly here, but you've got to go to war to get the victory in your life. So you need to cut off the hooks, and you need to cut off the curses and pull out the hooks. Now, the best way I can describe this, draw this up on your video screen. If you're moving forward in life, all of the things the enemy has said or people have said are like hooks in your back with chains on them, rope, trying to hold you back, okay? So you're trying to move forward, but the pain of the past, the words of the past, the things that have happened are holding you back, okay? That's really what the Bible calls curses. They're curses in our life. They're hooks in our life, things that have maybe happened to us. So let me give you a few scriptures. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. Anyone who is hung on a tree is under a curse. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So through Christ, you are redeemed. Listen to 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Remember we read, anyone hanging on a tree is cursed. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, by his wounds, you have been healed. Emotionally, physically. And then Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, the Lord turn the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. And so you got to be a person that goes to war cut off the curses and anything that's holding you back. Cut the curses off and pull the hooks out of your back. Pull the hooks out of your mind. You got to go to war. Cut those things off in the name of Jesus and by the word of God. Amen? Second aspect of that is you got to relinquish the anguish and pull down strongholds. You got to relinquish the anger. So remember I said one of the unfortunate things is that we get angry about life. How many times have we said this? Why didn't God heal me? Or why did that happen? We say the whys. And so you've got to relinquish that. You've got to ask the Lord to just help you to relinquish that. And then you've got to pull down a stronghold. A stronghold is like a fortress, like a castle in your mind. So you got to be courageous enough to say, do you have some strongholds in your mind? Let me give some examples. Do you really believe that God can heal? That could be a doctrinal issue. Maybe you never heard that. Maybe you grew up in a church where they didn't even talk about this. That could be a doctrinal thing. So you have to ask yourself, say, do I really believe that God can heal me emotionally, physically? Here's another stronghold. Do you think you're unworthy? That could be a stronghold where people say this all the time. Well, I know God can heal, but will he heal me? Does he want to heal me? That could be a stronghold in your mind. And so you've got to renew your mind to the fact that the Lord loves you. The Lord wants to heal. He died for you. And so that could be a stronghold that you've got to renew. What about this? Do you think that this is who you are? Let that sink in. Do you think that you have to be defined by your physical condition? By the injury, the accident? Do you think you have to be defined by the emotional condition? Do you take too much ownership and say, I'm depressed? I have anxiety? You know, our society right now, there's an epidemic of diagnosis. You hear little kids talking about that they have anxiety. They just take ownership of that. You don't have to own that in Jesus' name. You don't have to say, don't let others label you. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings because I know that you can identify where you're at. Fact, you can say some of those things. But we do live in a society where there's all kinds of labels. Don't let other people label you. Just say, you know what? What does God say about me? What does God say about me? Yeah, maybe I struggle with depression, but I'm overcoming. I'm getting the victory over this. Don't conclude and resign yourself that you're going to have anxiety the rest of your life. That is not the truth. You're going to get victory over this in Jesus' name. Yeah, man, I could preach. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. NIV says strongholds. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So you have to be honest. Is there a stronghold in your mind, a fortress? Got to start renewing your mind to the fact that God wants to deliver you from these things. The third aspect of this is what I call the category of the unexplained. The category of the unexplained. There are some things, if you're really honest, you just cannot explain. And it usually has to do with God's timing. And you got to be at peace with that. I remember when I first started out in the ministry, I was in the Congo, and I went to preach at this, it was a new church plant, so we met outside, many meetings outside. And after I was done preaching, I started praying for the sick. And I'll never forget, a woman came forward and she had double vision. Now, she said, I see two everywhere. And I prayed for the power of the Lord came on her. She was instantly healed. She was in shock. It was one of those things where she was just in shock. She could see perfectly. So we rejoice, and I kept praying for people. And then I came to a little baby, a little less than 2 years old, who couldn't walk. Mom was holding the baby. Baby was crying. Mom was crying. So my heart is just broken for this little baby that can't walk. And I prayed. Did everything I knew to do to say in the name of Jesus, to pray, to declare. And that baby was not healed. Now, I was young, and I went home mad as a hornet. I was angry. And I'm sure you've gone through this. And I said, Lord, why did you heal this woman instantly? And there's this little baby. And I did not see the heal. Now, I don't know if that baby was healed later or progressively. I have no idea, but I just knew the emotions in my heart. And I had to get a breakthrough. And I'll never forget what the Lord said to me. He said, Eric, you've got to be at peace. And it's what I call the category of the unexplained. There are some things in your life that you're just not going to be able to explain. And you got to be okay with it. And so I had to make a decision there when I was young that just because I pray for one person, they're healed, and I pray for somebody who's not healed, that does not change the truth that Jesus is the healer. See, just because you're struggling financially today doesn't change the fact that God's the provider just because you're in a valley. Come on, somebody. And so we really have to understand this and be at peace with that. Okay? And so I was all torn up inside. I had to come to peace. Now, let me give you another principle here. I think we'll all agree that for the woman that I prayed for that was healed of double vision, could I take the credit for that? Are you sure? You sure it wasn't because I fasted a lot and I prayed and I was a holy guy? I can guarantee you it was none of that. Guarantee. So I cannot take the credit for somebody when they're healed. You can't. Jesus is the healer. He gets all the glory. Let's just say amen to that, okay? All right. Now, I think we'll all agree with that. But by the same token, let's flip the coin. For the baby that was not healed, can I take the blame for that? I shouldn't, theologically. But you know what we do? We take the blame. Like, oh, man, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not. And so we take the blame. Now, that's a whole nother message of things of, like I said, renewing your mind and believing what's in God's word. But bottom line is, let's just be really honest. We all love the Lord here. We love the Lord. We're all trying our best, right? And so let's just be honest. There are some people that we see it instantly, other people we don't. But we have to be at peace with the category of the unexplained in our life and not let that rock our faith. Come on, you're stronger than that. We're stronger than that. We don't have to let that rock our faith in the Lord just because we're going through a valley. May God give us the grace. May God help us. And so the second aspect here third one, you got to go to war. So one, you trust his timing. Two, believe his word. Three, go to war. Let me move quickly. Four, you stand in faith. You stand in faith. So if we really get this right, we live in two realities. It's really a paradox. You live in two realities. There's heaven and earth, and then there's supernatural and the natural. That's why Jesus said to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's two realms here. There's heaven and then there's the earth. Same with you. You're supernatural. There's a part of you that's born again. There's a part of you that's righteous. There's a part of you that's perfect because of what Jesus did for you. But on the other hand, you're messed up. Right? You're very, very human. That's two realities. And they're not in contradiction. It's just a paradox. You live in two realities. So when you're going through this, you stand in faith and you just recognize I live in two realities. Listen to James 5, 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Is anyone of you sick? That's one reality. Prayer of faith, second reality. Both are true. Both are true. Paul had a sickness. That's why he ended up with the Galatians. He preached the gospel. That's crazy, right? The man who preached healing, who flowed in healing. But there are two realities. And so there are times that you get sick, but you also get the healing. And so you live in that. You stand in faith with that. You live in two realities. And so to that point, secondly, you speak his reality. I live in two realities, but I speak his reality so that truth can overtake fact, so that one can overpower the other, so that reality of the spirit can overpower the reality of the natural. So you speak his reality. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. What you say. So you read God's word and you pray back God's word. You read God's words and then you say God's word. And you say, God, this is the promise. This is what you said. And so you pray it back to him. You say it. And so you allow his reality to overtake the earthly reality. Are you getting anything out of this today? Should I finish the message? So there was a man from a previous generation, early 20th century, a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. God used him in incredible miracles. I've read different things, but to my recollection, God used him to raise 13 people from the dead. Some say more, but 13 people from the dead. One of the most amazing testimonies is a guy came to one of his meetings and he didn't have any feet. And so Smith told him, he said, I want you to go to the shoe store and I want you to buy some shoes. The man was really hurt by that, offended. I don't appreciate that. I don't have any feet. And you're telling me to go buy some shoes. But he thought, you know what? This guy's been using miracles. Let me try what he says. So he goes to the shoe store and the guy says, I need a pair of shoes. And the man says, well, what size? Well, he hadn't thought about that. So he figured out how tall he was, and all right, he gave him a size shoe. And the testimony is when he put, where he had no foot, his stub into that shoe, a foot grew. That's an amazing miracle. And then he put his other stub into the other shoe, and another foot grew. That is a phenomenal miracle. You say, oh, that's a previous generation. Well, I was in Nigeria just a few years ago, and I prayed for a young man, a boy, and I thought I was just praying because he hurt himself in soccer. I had no idea that he had a club foot. It's probably good because I would have been intimidated by that. The next day, the parents come running in with the boy, and they're shouting and screaming, and they said all through the night, God grew and formed a foot for him. Someone say amen to that. Say amen to that. So Smith Wigglesworth saw incredible miracles like that. But do you know that Smith Wigglesworth's daughter, Alice, was deaf her whole life? James Salter, her husband, and Alice, they were missionaries in the Congo. But she was deaf her whole life. He struggled with some physical conditions. What am I saying? And that may not build some of your faith. Some of you might be upset by that, but it actually ought to be refreshing because you love the Lord and you got issues. But here's the deal. Smith Wigglesworth lived in two realities, and all of us do, heaven and earth, spirit and natural, supernatural and natural. That's really important. That's just real life. Can we just be real about things? And so we live in two realities. But if you're in the middle of something and you're struggling and suffering, what I'm trying to tell you today is don't give up in the natural, because let your spirit realm override that. Let truth override the fact. Just don't give up. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. Don't give up. Don't give up. I'm telling you, please don't give up believing God. The last one. Dive deeper. Dive deeper. So let me review. I've said when we're talking about the power to heal, trust his timing, believe his word, go to war, stand in faith. So you know, if you're hurt, if your body's racked with pain, just keep standing in faith and say, Lord, it hurts, but I choose to believe your word is more powerful than the fact that my body's hurting. And so you're hurting emotionally, you're grieving, you're going through a difficult time, you're regretting. But choose, make a quality decision, say, you know what, I choose that this is more powerful than what I'm feeling emotionally. Stand in faith. Now, there's so much I could say, but I just don't have the time. And number five, dive deeper, dive deeper. In other words, press in to know more about his love for you. 1 John 3, verse 1, see how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And in fact, we are. If I had the words to somehow describe to you in the natural how much God loves you, but go on a journey, dive deep, swim deep, go deep, discover God's love for you. Make it your prayer. Say, God, show me how much you love me. Because I do know the scripture. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for me, that you died for me, Jesus. But please, I need that revelation. Go on a journey, dive deep and say, God, give me revelatory knowledge that you love me. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures. Let's pull it up in the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. Would you please say masterpiece? And there's no one like you. You're incredible. You're a masterpiece, God's masterpiece. He created you. He painted you. He sculpted you. He made you. You are a masterpiece, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You and I got to get a revelation that we're God's masterpiece. And I'm going to say it again. Too often we are defined by what people have said about us. And then we begin to say it about ourselves. And we look into the mirror and we feel inferior. We feel insecure. We don't like what we see. And it affects us all the time. God is saying, he wants to renew our minds and tell us that we are masterpieces. Amen? And then you move forward. You move forward in humility. True humility is also honesty. To say, you know what, I didn't achieve the academic accolades, or I didn't achieve the athletic prowess by my own strength, but it was because of God. You just give the glory to God. You do your best, the possible, but then you give him the glory for all of your accomplishments. That's true humility. If I were to say to you today, man, you're an amazing person. You built that house and it's incredible. And you keep saying, no, I'm not. No, what you need to do is just say, thank you. Glory to God. He used a human vessel to do that. That's true humility. But you're a masterpiece. I think you better say that. Say, I'm a masterpiece. I want you to pinch your neighbor and say, you are a masterpiece. Come on, say it. And the last aspect of this is keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Hebrews 3 and verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter. To enter what? The promised land. Because of their unbelief. Many of us haven't received the breakthrough, the healing, because of our unbelief. We just don't believe it. But that's where we're gonna start getting God's word in our life, that he really loves us and he really does want to heal us. Amen, church. See, sometimes we're a little too educated. And so what we do is we educate ourselves right out of a blessing. And so what we tend to do in North America is we dichotomize the supernatural from the natural. We think everything is just so linear. I'm here to tell you there's a whole lot of both. There's a reality of both. I'm going to close with this. Go to John chapter 11. No, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I'll finish with this. Well, do you love the Lord? All right, look at John chapter 8. Now, I want to read this passage, but I want you to think about words, painful words, and physical injuries. And then I'm going to preach a couple of things into the text, okay? So John chapter 8. At dawn, verse 2, at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Always wondered what he was writing. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. The woman's still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So they were going to stone her. You know, words hurt. You could be stoned with your words. They were going to stone her. Hear the word of the Lord today. Jesus is not condemning you, even if you did make mistakes. He says he's not going to throw a stone at you. And I'm here to declare to you today that God wants to heal you from the words, but also even the stones that have been thrown at you, but the stones of physical injury, of emotional injury, of words that have come, God wants to heal you of that. And he's not condemning you from that. It's really important. Say amen to that. Now, he does tell her, don't sin. You know how I want to preach that into the text? Don't sin anymore. In other words, stop not believing that I love you and I want to heal you. They did not enter the promise because of their unbelief. They didn't believe God loved them. God forgave them. They didn't believe it. And so how can I stop sinning? Start believing. Start believing that he wants to bless me, that he wants to heal me, that I don't have to be hindered and paralyzed by the stuff of the past. I can be free from all of that. And so the Lord is not condemning. The Lord is not throwing stones. And so I got a word for you. I got a word for you. If you had an authority figure, if you had a teacher, if you had a parent, if you had somebody throw stones of negativity at you today, I'm here to tell you that the Lord is not throwing stones at you. Amen? He's not throwing stones. Do you love the Lord today? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.